Section 9. Conclusion. In truth, the only evidence that Jesus really existed as a historical person, as opposed to merely being believed to have existed by the dawn of the second century, lies in the contents of the New Testament. There is no other source, document, or artifact that independently corroborates the historical reality of Jesus. In most cases, this is obvious, but in some it is disputed, and those cases I will take up in the next chapter. The remaining chapters deal with the New Testament. Independent or not, all extra-biblical mentions of Jesus come later than 90 AD, by which time a belief that Jesus was historical will already have arisen. Even the contents of the New Testament did not begin to be written until 20 or so years after Jesus is supposed to have lived, and most of it was written half a century or more later, some of it nearly as much as a century later. And all of it was written by fanatical believers, not neutral observers, while all the evidence we have from neutral parties was dependent on these fanatical Christians as their source. The New Testament itself was assembled in the middle of the second century by obvious devout historicists, who thus selected, and in some cases even modified, the contents of the New Testament specifically to support their agenda. We do not have any first century documents from other sects of Christianity, and no second century collections arranged by them either. Thus, for example, if Paul wrote a letter that more clearly identified Jesus as solely a cosmic being, we cannot expect to have it, because the sect that chose which letters of his to preserve dogmatically rejected that view, as we shall see in the next chapter, and therefore it would not have preserved any such letters, but only those that could be interpreted to favor their view rather than what the earliest Christians may have really believed. It is therefore more than a little significant that we know of several letters by Paul that have not been preserved, begging the question, why? What did they say? I shall have more to say about this in chapters 11 and 12. But for now, note the example of 1 Corinthians 5, referring to the original first letter to the Corinthians. Our 1 Corinthians is actually the second, which in fact assumes the reader has already read the first one, now missing. Colossians 4, verse 16 also refers to a letter, quote-unquote, from Laodicea, that the author of Colossians once read in the churches. We don't have that letter, although one was later forged in its place. Fragments of these lost letters might survive inside the letters we have, insofar as any of them are edited pastiches of choice parts of several letters combined into new, effectively fictional letters. But fragments do not entail a whole, and we cannot know what Paul wrote that was not preserved by this process. And we know some parts are missing. There were also letters written to Paul, which he is responding to. For example, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1 refers to one of these. Yet those were not preserved either. Therefore, though the whole range of extra-biblical evidence constitutes our fourth category, and the first we shall examine, we shall find in the next chapter that it argues very little in favor of historicity, and even somewhat against, leaving our primary focus on the probability that the New Testament would contain the text it does if H is true and Jesus did exist, and the probability that it would contain that text if H is not true and Jesus didn't really exist. Yet, as we've seen, this evidence is enormously compromised by a legacy of selective preservation, doctoring, interpolation, and forgery. Is worryingly late for our needs, all of it dating decades to half a century after the fact or later, and almost all of it is useless, because we can't establish its independence from earlier material that we have, or its reliability, even if independent. These facts must be taken into account when estimating probabilities. No argument can follow from the premise that any disciples or eyewitness wrote the Gospels or Epistles, for example. If by an eyewitness record we mean a record actually written by an eyewitness, we simply have no eyewitness record of Jesus ever existing, much less of anything that Jesus said or did. That alone proves nothing, of course, because it's as true of countless other historical persons. But they do not have an initially low probability of existing, whereas Jesus does, as we saw in chapter 6, being, unlike most everyone else, a worshipped savior and celestial demigod already in our earliest evidence. The evidence for Jesus, therefore, has to be substantially better than usual to overcome that low prior. In fact, we'll find it is generally worse, being more likely to exist in the state it does if Jesus didn't exist than if he did. But that has yet to be demonstrated. So to that we now turn.